Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Every year I tell myself, not every year, every election, I'm like, I'm not going to stay up and watch the bullshit.
Yeah.
And I know what's going to happen.
You're going to stay up and watch the bullshit.
I'm going to fucking stay. Like, they're going to start at 6 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock our time. They're going to be like, well, the East Coast states are starting to come in.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, it's going to be midnight, and I'm going to be like, why am I even watching this?
Yeah.
They don't know.
They're
not going to know for 3 fucking days.
No, but it's going to be a whole bunch of people standing in front of a map, and they're going to be touching the screen, and states are going to go red.
And I'm going to watch.
States are going to go blue, and here's what we know.
I'm gonna
here's
like
the outlook as of this minute with 98% reporting, and
we're all gonna be waiting on Maricopa County. That's the county that Elon Musk should go after first, like day one. Maricopa County. You know they're coming out saying like, oh, it's gonna be Friday before.
I just don't. I know better.
Yeah,
this is one of those things. Like I know I'm smart, and I make pretty good decisions. Like through. And this is one of those dumb things I'm going to do.
It's like a
I'm going to sit up there and I'm going to watch the stupid guy touch the screen and I'm going to flip back between CNN and MSNBC and Fox and I'm going to be like, oh, they're lying. And I'm going to get all worked up and then 11 o'clock I'm going to be like, I know nothing more than I knew at 7.
Yeah.
It's like a
and
Netflix,
I'm going to be fucking mad for no reason.
It's like a Netflix documentary. Like you watch like a 30-minute Netflix documentary and you're like, this feels like one long trailer for the actual documentary.
Yeah. It's just, it's going to be shitty. And I stayed up last night because the Chiefs went OT.
Yep.
They were up late.
So I'm, and I'm not going to say like.
So if you haven't gathered for our listeners, we're recording this on election day.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I voted today.
Yeah.
Sticker on.
Mine's in the trash downstairs.
Wearing that proudly. For like, you know, it's fucked up. So I went this morning, like 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I didn't put it on until I came over here.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll put it on.
So I was looking at the rules. Title at the top of the rules.
At the deal, yeah.
It says polling station rules. So for all you guys giving me shit about calling
I knew
it a polling
you were gonna
station.
Say that.
It literally says polling station rules.
I know.
And it's got, you know, all the forbidden stuff. You can't wear political.
Which is bullshit.
Well,
how can I not wear a shirt that says Trump on it? What difference does it make?
So Danielle and I were joking around about it standing in line. And there's a key
phrase.
Did the
old lady come over there and go, excuse me?
No.
You can't say that here in that line.
At the bottom of it, it's got all the list of forbidden things. And then it says.
Can't take guns, which is bullshit too.
Right. Well,
and I might have to shoot a motherfucker,
right?
You know,
they don't know.
You're supposed to vote the other way.
No, at the bottom, you know, it's, you know, hats, shirts, pants, banners, flags, backpacks, anything with a political candidate, slogan, wording, anything.
Yeah.
For this election. And so I'm like, oh, well, you just wear like a Trump 2020 shirt.
That's actually funny.
Because
so
it's not this election.
What's crazy. So
wear like a Reagan shirt.
McDonald's uniform.
When I was waiting in line, there were two guys voting, and they both had on red Budweiser hats.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a red Budweiser hat since like 1987.
Yeah.
And there were two guys in there voting with a red Budweiser hat.
You know what shirt I'm wearing today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a red shirt that says win the day.
Yeah.
So I do. That is good.
Yeah. It was either this or a trash bag.
There's probably a Facebook page with like a whole group of ironic things to wear on voting day where it's like, you can't wear political stuff, but here's
trash
the best
bag.
Stuff you can
That's
wear
so
on
good.
Voting
yeah,
day.
I was going to go get a red trash bag and wear it.
That'd have been so good.
Because the conditions at my polling station are just deplorable.
They're deplorable. Y'all are deplorable. You can't, Republicans
dude,
are deplorable.
Did you listen to Trump talk about getting into that garbage truck? He said he was at a speech and he's so funny. He's telling the story and he said, well, I got the garbage truck and the step is this high. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That's the first cuss word I think I may have ever heard Austin say.
I'm only saying it because
or two.
I'm only saying it because it's
on.
Oh, he He said,
I knew if I didn't get up in this truck, they would say he's conductively challenged. And so I just used my adrenaline and I pumped up.
Like, he sounds more like Cartman than Trump.
Yeah. They killed Kenny! Just the way he tells stories, like it's like legit, like the stuff
well, he tells
is way it, up
here. What's funny is he tells stories like a regular guy that's had a couple beers would tell stories. You know what I mean?
He tells stories like a woman. You're 10 minutes into the story and you're 17. He tells stories like you and I podcast.
Yeah, like
you're
a woman.
10 minutes in and you're on 17 tangents away
yeah,
from
like
where
a,
you started.
Yeah, woman or a guy that's had two beers. Same thing.
Yeah.
Ramble, baby. Ramble.
Ramble on.
And that's not sexist because my wife has said that. Like, yeah. If I have a few beers and I get chatty, she's like, you're just like me when you have a couple beers.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Good.
Am I? Great. Good. So, no more beers for me.
Yeah.
Like, eh. Okay.
It just means you put out after you have a couple of beers.
I put out regardless.
There you go.
I am what they call a sleut.
I watched the J.D. Vance one on Joe Rogan, and like I love everything he says.
I still haven't watched
he's
those.
So good at conversationing and like debating where it's almost kind of boring, but not in a bad way.
I think right. You mean conversing.
It's just it's so smooth. Conversing.
Conversationing.
Yeah, conversing.
He's a conversationalist.
But like you listen to Trump because he's kind of wild, but like J.D. Vance, he's so smooth and calculated and like he's so correct in all of his stuff.
He reminds me a lot of Josh Hawley.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
He reminds me a lot. Yeah. Josh Hawley, smooth.
Like I checked the timer like 40s, when I was halfway through. I'm like, is this
like,
done yet?
He just puts off that same persona.
Yep. I'm listening to that one right now,
mm-hmm.
And I find it funny that Rogan had Vance and Trump on, and Kamala never would. He extended the offer to Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
She never would do it.
Well, he doesn't teleprompt.
Right.
There's no teleprompter.
Right.
Like, so she would have to use her brain
she'd
to make
to,
up thoughts.
She'd have to be able to hold
speak.
A three-hour conversation.
She can't hold a four-minute fucking conversation.
Just, hey, she might be your president.
Do you think the people from SNL are going to get sued?
For?
So you saw that
they
she
gave Trump makeup time for that.
So is he going to go on?
Well, he already did.
Oh, he went
they
on?
They gave him a minute.
When? See,
just like
this
yesterday.
Is the problem. I look at social media and I look at stuff all the time, and I didn't see that.
You got to get on X, man. Like, honestly, that's the best sorts of information right now.
It makes me want to stab people.
Well, have X on your phone. Like, go through your legacy media
stuff. This is what
stuff.
I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do from now on. When stuff important comes up, Austin, text me.
Yeah, it's Pandora's box there.
Just careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
He texts me a lot
Shapiro
now.
Said this.
I don't mind. He sends me stuff all the time. He's like, hey, what do you think about this? I watch it.
Well, just get on,
I appreciate
get
it.
Get on X, you know? That's where it's at.
God, you sound like all the guys in Tradewinds.
Well, that's honestly, you get stuff so much faster, and too, you don't have to worry about the whole thing where it's like one tiny thing happens on the news, and then it's like a Netflix documentary. Well, today's show of breaking news. It's like, okay, first off, if anyone says a story's about to break, stories don't happen that way. There isn't
no.
a story or
it's
not.
It's breaking.
Like,
yeah, it's already broke.
Yeah.
Right.
It's already broken.
And so you kind of bypass all that stuff.
So are you bracing yourself for the 4 days of bullshit and lawsuits and
well,
who won and who didn't win? And,
yeah. And it'll happen either way.
Oh, it'll happen either way.
Right.
It's going to happen.
So I think the only way it won't happen is if it's like a landslide victory for Trump.
The only way I think Trump wins is if it is a landslide.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think when people...
I think that... I think it's going to either... Like, I read this article the other day, and this happened in 16, you know, when he... Basically, it was a landslide. It's like, no one said they were voting for him, and then they just did. Like,
yeah.
I think that's probably the only way he wins now. Like, if it's close, I don't think he's going to win. I think it's got to be...
I do.
People finally are going to come out and be like, you know what? He's right.
Right.
This is bullshit. Like
you do realize as like I'm looking on social media how more and more people have no idea how the electoral college works because they're just like, oh, it's dead even. That means this. Like people think that dead even means like it's going to be like 268 to 268. And so like, no, that just means like they have this many chances of swinging that state. So it's like Trump, in theory, could, you know, get all the swing states. It doesn't 50-50 doesn't mean like it normally does. It
doesn't
like,
mean 50-50.
People don't understand how the electoral college works.
Yeah, it's because they're dumb.
Well,
and they didn't. It's like they didn't pay attention. I remember in our high school, like our history class was in depth.
Yeah.
Like they went over. There wasn't just history. There was government. There was world government. Like there were all these different history classes you could take.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like broke down in detail how voting works,
AP government,
how the AP government, like all of these different things. Like my wife went to private school; she has no fucking clue about science or government. Like, and she, like, I'll bring stuff up and she's like, oh, I didn't know worked.
Your wife's works at a hospital in the radiology department. She doesn't know about science?
She doesn't know.
She knows how to manage people?
No. She knows how science works for her job.
Right.
So she basically went to trade school.
Yeah.
Is basically what she did, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's like, we'll be talking about regular stuff. And she's like, well, I didn't know that. I'm like, babe, I learned that in like fucking eighth grade.
Yeah.
Like, at my school, they didn't teach that. Like, I'm just like, what?
There's been this person on the local community page.
Whoa. Do they listen to the podcast?
No.
Well, then say who the fuck they are.
I don't know their name.
Are they anonymous?
No.
Another anonymous post?
No. Hmm. Their name's just really confusing.
It's
probably African, if I had to guess. But
probably South African.
They've been posting multiple times a day. They've been posting multiple times a day, like giving everybody updates on the lines at the early polling station, like the early voting station.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff. And they come off like they know all there is to know about the elections.
Yeah.
Make sure you're going to need this. You're going to need this. Make sure you have this and, you know, all of this stuff.
Go to your jurisdiction. Have your ID. That's all you fucking got to have.
Right. But so then yesterday she makes a post and says,
oh, it's a woman. I like it.
Can somebody print me a
fake ID
Harris t-shirt like ASAP today? Because I would like to support my candidate while I'm voting tomorrow.
I thought you knew all the rules, bitch.
And it's like, yeah, comment after comment. If you can't wear it, you can't wear it, you can't wear it, you can't wear it.
No, don't tell her that. But, like, please wear it.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't she know that they don't vote till Tuesday?
Yeah.
She has an extra day to get it done. Yeah. Wednesday, sorry. Damn it. I fucked up my own
you're
joke.
You're almost there.
But in her post about, you know, can somebody make me this shirt, she goes on to say, it's almost like an anonymous post. She goes on to say, like, and no nastiness and no negative comments and your nastiness makes you look nasty and says more about you than it does about me. And like, she's like,
yeah,
she's,
as
you
I'm
can
standing
tell,
over you on the, in the ditch, like, yeah, fuck off.
She, well, you can tell that she's
trolling.
Well, no, she's planning on getting drug for publicly announcing who she's supporting.
Did no one take the bait? That would be so good.
Oh, no. No, I mean, no one took the bait on dragging her, but everyone was just like, first time voting? Like, you can't wear that.
Yeah.
You can't.
Are you a citizen?
Yeah.
I definitely have a suspicion that, like, you can kind of see how people, they won't tell you who they're voting for, but how they worded their Facebook post for them voting, kind of like, it's almost like their hidden messages. They're like,
yeah,
we're going to go and vote, vote, vote. I'm like, that kind of sounds a lot like fight, fight, fight.
Yeah.
And the vote, vote, vote.
I don't.
Vote like your daughter's life depends on it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, your, yeah.
Vote like your kid's trans.
You know what's weird? Mm-hmm. I did see, so I got out to go in to vote, and there's two people standing out there. And this is probably within, I don't know exactly what the rules are, so clarify if you do know. They were both within 100 feet of the doorway. 50 feet, probably.
Yeah.
And they had information on Amendment 3.
That's how we had it ours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were, and one lady just came up because one lady asked me, do you need any information on Amendment 3? I said, no, I already know how I'm going to vote. And so I walk around and I'm getting ready to go in, and another lady comes up to me and she just says, can we count on your vote for no on Amendment 3? I said, yeah, of course you can.
Hmm.
And I was, and I'm thinking the whole time, I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure that's illegal as shit. But then when I pull in,
there's signs all over the place.
There's signs everywhere. Well, those signs are within 100 feet. And I thought the rule was 100 feet.
I think it's just within the polling facility because like
once you go inside, you can't do it. Or
I don't know,
in line, you can't do it. Like, I don't know what
pitched,
the fucking rule is.
So like I parked my truck and you park like front row park, walk right across the little roadway and right into the school. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I parked my truck and got met at my door by our former mayor. And he was campaigning for his vote.
That piece of shit is still out here?
No. This was...
Oh, I thought you meant today. I was like, what is
this was years ago.
Okay.
Oh.
Previous election.
God, I hope that guy dies.
Yeah, this was two mayoral votes ago.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
And...
Ross, piece of shit.
Yeah. But
sorry.
But
should I not have said that?
No, you're fine.
I mean, he was campaigning there in the polling station parking lot.
What did you say to him? Look, back up a little bit. What did he say to you?
He said,
do you remember?
He said, can I count on your vote today? And I said, you bet. I'm absolutely voting today.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
I ain't voting for you, but you can count on the fact that I will vote today.
You're so much more passive aggressive than me. I've been like, no, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
He ended up winning that election.
I know, he won two more.
Well, his two opponents split him too far.
Yeah.
They
learned this last one.
Yeah, he had two strong
opposites.
Well, he wasn't running for a re-election last time.
Well, but the other guy that was going to run didn't even run.
Right.
So...
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's...
You had to be so confused for a second. I'm mad, and it didn't even happen. No.
It'll be interesting to see. So obviously, we're recording this on Election Day.
We got to start getting these out faster.
We might know by the time this is released. It usually comes out on Friday. By the time it's released, we might know who our president is. We might not.
Maybe. Hey, I'm the one that proposed having this show actually live, so it's on YouTube the second we hit stop.
You know, we've talked about doing that, and I've looked into it a little bit. We could probably do it. Yeah, we could probably do a recorded and then one that's just live.
If you want the sneak preview, if you want the show a couple days faster, you got to watch it on YouTube live.
Like, you don't have to even worry about, like...
No, I want people to be... So, like, remember Corey Pratt, right?
It'll be, like, recorded on here so I can still make shorts with it. It's already on YouTube. I don't have to worry about it.
So, you know Corey Pratt that does Craven Cars, right? Mm-hmm. So, they do a live one on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
And people can email in, call in. They can talk to him, right? I don't know what that takes. We should probably look into that. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll call him.
We'll figure it out.
See what he's doing.
Yeah.
Maybe we should figure it out.
Maybe our listeners would like to be able to email live and be like, that guy on the left needs to shut the fuck up.
I can hear fucking Ray and Dan now. I can hear them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we could block them.
I mean, you can do Borman's process. Literally just pull up the Void Facebook page and just be
read what they've posted.
Yeah, we're going live right now. Like, put in your questions here man's process.
Yeah, we could do that. And then the guys that we know, when they post something, we could just edit it and I could say whatever I want that they said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That would actually be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Dan Bianchi emailed in a question. He says, if you're trans, can you still be a plumber? Love you, Dan.
That's dark, dude.
I don't know him that well, but I feel like he's like the wild card. Like, if you ever go out to do anything with him, he's a wild card.
He is a wild card.
He's a good sport.
What does he do? Jiu-jitsu? No, not jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Is it jiu-jitsu?
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, he's a purple belt.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll roll around for fun.
You did beat him in the push-up contest.
You did beat Dan in the push-up contest.
No, technically, he won.
Why is that?
No, wait, I guess.
No, he did. You won by a couple.
He did look at me and go, I won, right? Like, he lost count.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm yelling them into the microphone. He's like, oh, I didn't realize how many he did.
I could have kept going, but then I'm like, the goal is for me to not win this.
No, the goal is for you to win.
Well, yeah. I won.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. I probably had 10 or 15 more in me.
Nothing says confident coach like I should give up and just let this guy win. No, you kicked their ass.
So I thought you guys were in sync. Like, were you counting it like at the same time?
No, I went first, and then he.
No,
went.
He went. Mitch went, and then he went.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what?
Are wondering, we had a push-up contest between us and an attendee of one of our in-person events.
Our very first event,
and it was Dan. And the winner got like a Tradewind shirt or something like that.
I gave him a couple of shirts. So, he didn't win, but I gave him a couple of shirts anyway.
Which, speaking of in-person events, we have another one coming up.
We are going to have an event.
Yeah,
it's going to be. It's either going to be the last Saturday of February, or the second or third Saturday of March.
Yeah.
So
stay tuned to the show. Stay tuned to the Facebook.
We haven't had one that's been open to. Void members also. Members. Void listeners.
Void listeners, right.
Also. But this one will be.
Yep.
This is going to be open to everyone.
For the live show,
it's going to be great.
I can just hook this camera up to my iPad or a Mac and shoot it that way.
Yeah. We'll figure that out.
Very random, but yeah. Okay.
We'll figure that out after the show. How about
Maybe finish eating that. We got to look for producers.
Yeah. Definitely going to need one of those.
I love when Joe Rogan gets mad at Jamie. Have you seen some of those clips?
Uh-huh.
He's whenever his mic went out during the JD Vance, he's like, dang it, Jamie. I told you to get a new mic.
Told you to get a new mic, motherfucker.
Yeah. Jamie just takes it.
Okay, so all that being said, we've been talking for 20 minutes about nothing. What do you actually want to talk about today? Do you have anything like constructive you want to talk about, or just like nothing? I've had three Red Bulls today, so let's go.
And this is fitting in the election time. We're going to talk about paralysis by analysis and how to avoid it. Because like right now, all of America is paralyzed. They don't want to do anything until they know who's going to be president. Like, it matters. I mean, yes, I get the president matters, but like, all businesses are feeling it. We're feeling it in our business. Customers are like, I don't want to buy the new sewer until after the election. Why?
Yeah.
What's it like? Trump or Kamala ain't helping you pay for this fucker. So like, just
And if there is a shit show, like if it literally the world melts down, you're gonna want that sewer to work.
Yeah.
Like you should probably get it done beforehand because
you're
after
clean filtered water, right?
Yeah. After I'm not coming back. Yeah. If the end of the world's happening, I'm not coming back.
Right. I don't know what fucking tell you. Apocalyptic pricing.
Apocalyptic. Yeah. You don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to have to pay for that shit.
But yeah, like everyone has just been paralyzed and we do this naturally. Like our natural tendency is to procrastinate and look for reasons to do so. And the biggest businesses out there, the best businesses out there, the largest businesses, the fastest growing, the most stable, everything, those are businesses that do it and then figure it out along the way, right?
Yeah.
What's Mike Tyson's greatest quote ever?
Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Right.
How about that? Boom.
If everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, why even make the plan? You know, it's kind of like women that walk into the hospital with a birth plan. And then those birthing nurses are like, ha, yeah, okay. Dude, they just throw it out the window and they do the same thing they always do.
It's so funny. You said, like, when we went in, like, it was, hey, we're going to be induced on this day. We're going to go in. Our doctor, super badass woman doctor, is like, okay, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do that and do this. Janine, like, they break her water. She's in there 12 hours.
Yeah.
Like, Layla's stuck. And she finally, the doctor comes in and goes, well, plan went to shit.
Yep.
What do you want to do? Do you want to just suffer for another 6 hours or do you want me to cut this baby? That's basically what she said. Do you want me to cut this baby out? And Janine looked at me and I said, let's get her. Yeah. I said, let's get after it. And that doctor was one of the most badass women I've ever met in my entire life. She's like, okay, we go in there, dude. She's like, pulls the baby out. Here you go.
Yeah.
Like, take pictures, sets the baby down.
Your wife's looking like a gutted deer there on the table.
I'm just like, I'm in shock. Yeah. I'm like, just in awe of how, but to your point, that was like, she was like, this ain't going to plan.
Yeah.
We gotta move forward.
Yeah.
These are our options.
Our first one was something along the line, like Danielle went there with this whole written plan.
Of course she did.
And the doctor like looked at it long enough to realize it's a birth plan, looks her back in the eye and was like, so your plan is to have a healthy baby and enjoy the day as much as possible. And Danielle's like, yeah. And the doctor goes, cool. And then like throws the paper away. I didn't even read it. Because this whole like, you know,
no, you're gonna
has
be,
a plan,
you're
right?
You're going to be in pain.
Yeah, everyone it's has a plan until that awful first contraction hits. And then it's like, you know, I don't want epidural. I want epidural. Give me all the epidural. You know? But that's the way life is, right?
And well, that's the way business is.
That's the way everything is. Like, it, you know, I don't want to have kids because I'm not ready. Well, guess what? Nobody's ready to have kids.
No, you like, think you're ready? Janine and I waited till we were 31. We're like, yeah, we're ready.
Yeah.
You ain't ready. No, you ain't fucking ready.
Right.
Everyone, what's crazy is everyone tells you, like, not to get onto a coaching thing, but it's like everyone tells you, but until you accept it, it's worthless.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You're fine. You're not ready. Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Well, and
fucking ready.
So many times for anything, it's, you know, like we see this a ton in Tradewinds. We get questions on this kind of stuff where guys are like, I really want to do this, but I haven't, you know, thought about it long and hard and I haven't put all the plans together and my projections aren't together yet and everything else. And then it's like, do you think it'll work? Yeah. Well, then just do it.
Get the fuck after it, dog.
Oh, you want to add HVAC to your business? Cool. Do you think it'll work? Yeah. Do you have a guy that can run the license? Yeah. Cool. Buy the truck. Like, you don't need a market, you know, a case study to determine the market viability of another HVAC business in the area. Like, no, you just do it.
The viscosity of this and viscosity of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just do it.
Yeah. You don't need to go, you know, take a sample audience and ask their opinion on,
yeah,
you know, what are you not getting from your HVAC company now that we could currently bring to the market if we decided to proceed
first
with this
off,
venture?
If anyone here listening does a study like that before they do anything and pays 10 grand to a marketing agency to do that, you're a dipshit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Stop.
Yeah.
You do not need that.
Yeah.
Stop.
That's, you know, so much of everything we do just comes down to experience results in a pretty keen instinct. And then it's just a matter of like, who's got the balls to do it?
Well, it really comes down to want to. A lot of the times I think guys are trying to talk themselves out of wanting to do it. They know it's a good idea. They know it's going to make money, but do they want to do it? Do they have the drive to get it done?
Right.
That's what they're really battling.
And they try to make plans for all these roadblocks and all these hurdles. And yeah, I mean,
those are just excuses.
Well, you know, you can plan for some of that, right? So,
well, you can mitigate some of it. You can plan to mitigate a lot of it.
Prime example, like when we started our company, I made sure that our insurance had a policy that covered if I got smacked in an intersection and my work van was totaled, I can't produce revenue. And my truck might be in the shop for a month and I can't make money, right?
Yeah.
And so
And where you were at that point, you have to have that money coming in.
Right, right. Yeah. And so, you know, I made sure that when we got our insurance that I was protected in that area. I didn't stop the progress of the company until I had the money in the bank to cover it. I realized a risk. I put a plan in place to mitigate that hurdle should it arise. And then we moved on, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how, you know, that's how I kind of handle most things. But there are other people out there that'll be like, let's say you're a one truck operation and you're taking that the biggest step you're ever going to take is to go from one truck to two trucks because it's doubling your call volume. It's doubling everything. Right. And so there's a lot of guys out there that are like, you know, oh, I'm booked out 3 and 4 weeks and I'm turning calls away every day because I'm too swamped, but I'm still not ready to hire somebody because if all this turns off, I don't want my guy sitting there. And it's nothing more than an excuse.
Yeah. It's right? Because they're not sure they want to do it.
Yeah.
Or they're scared. Yeah.
And they're just
it's usually one of those two things.
Most of the time it's you're scared and then you're trying to act like you're using the lack of preparation as an excuse for not proceeding when really you're not proceeding just because you're scared. Right.
Yeah.
Because you didn't use that whenever you got your first truck and when you went out and got like, what if calls shut off on your own truck?
Yeah.
Well, you figure it out, right?
Yeah.
You go hunting for calls. You don't let that happen. You make it happen.
Well, and let's talk about the scared. Like, obviously, this being scared of the unknown is usually what it is, right? So when you're going out on your own, like you just said, you weren't scared then, right? Because you know how to make it work with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to get it done. You know that you can sit on the couch for X amount of days. The unknown is I've never hired an employee.
Right.
I've never had to look an employee in the eye and say, hey, we don't have work for these next 2 days.
Right.
It's the fear of the unknown and the discomfort why people don't do certain things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just, and like we said earlier, sometimes they're just, I mean, I get this way. You're just scared.
Yeah.
Right? You're just fucking scared.
Well, and a lot of other people, you know, like I was presented with an opportunity this morning and we didn't take it because it doesn't fit the business, the profile of what we do in our business. But it was a big commercial job here in town.
You ain't got the manpower, dog.
And no, we do. We totally do. But it's just not our forte. Because it's a commercial job for a building that will be owned by the city.
Oh, no,
it's
I'm
a prevailing
out.
Wage job. Right?
Out.
And there's a lot of new construction. Like we didn't take it because new construction's not our forte, right?
Yeah.
We can totally do it, but there's less money in it. You got to wait on your money.
Well, there's when it's prevailing wage, the money is there. The problem is you got to wait on your money.
You got to wait to get paid.
It ties up a lot of time that you're not in control of.
Right. Yeah, you lose control of your schedule.
That's really the thing for you is, and I'm not telling you, I know the ins and outs of your business, but like when you're not in control of your time and your entire business is wrapped around being in control of scheduling and when money's coming in, all that stuff, like that's...
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
That's just out of the realm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's why, you know, in other words, there are other places in town that do new construction, but they would see that prevailing wage thing and they would just be like, nope, not doing it. Why? Oh, I've just heard bad things about prevailing wage. From who? You know, and what I'm getting
at, it's because they're scared of the paperwork.
They're scared of the paperwork. And
it is a lot of paperwork.
Well, but let's go back. So who did you hear it from? Is that person credible?
Hearsay. Right. Most of the time it's fucking hearsay.
Right.
It's at the shop or the, not the shop. It's at Ferguson. They're wherever. You just, or you know, it's countertop talk.
It's their former boss that never ran a very good company and never grew his company past like one or two people.
Which is why you left in the first
which
place.
Which is why
so
you
maybe
left,
don't,
but now you're listening hold, to his
yeah,
opinions.
Don't hold them to be credible. Right, yeah, right. Yeah.
and so that, it goes right back to the person that's been posting on the local community group trying to keep everybody in the know about election stuff and then come to find out they don't really know anything.
Yeah.
They're just excited and they have diarrhea of the fingertips and they just got to jump on the community page and they can't stop posting.
I've never heard diarrhea of the fingertips. Yeah. That's new. That's I learned something
it's just
new today.
Flowing 24/7.
I love it.
But you know, it's like, okay, I obviously the moment she said she wanted to wear a political candidate's t-shirt to the polling stations, you realize she doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about.
All credibility is out the window.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but there are a lot of people that will allow the fear of
the unknown.
The unknown to stop them from even looking at opportunities.
Yeah.
Right.
Or taking let's talk about it realistically. People always will think of worst case scenario and automatically jump to that's going to happen to me if I do it.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. I don't know if that's like ingrained in people. Like some people's risk meter is just zero. Like your risk meter is lower than mine. Like, let's be honest.
It's ingrained in us all the way around. What are parents supposed to do with kids' Halloween candy?
I don't check any of Layla's. I know it's right. Awful. I don't.
Because
I just
I've never heard
it.
Of one single person.
Yeah.
You know, and then as gummies started getting legal, marijuana gummies started getting legal, then it was you saw these like fear mongering posts of like, parents could be slipping these into your kids' candy. Check it all. And I'm like, have you seen the price of those? Like, I guarantee you nobody's giving those out for Halloween.
My kid's going to be great at violin next week. You know,
but why do people
fall to that fear?
Because we love to live in fear.
Do we? I hate to live in fear. My whole goal is to not live in fear. And like I tell myself every day, I wake up and I'm like, I will not live in fear. Right? And I don't want to get biblical here or anything like that. It's like, don't live in fear.
Yeah.
Do what makes you happy. Move forward. Do that thing. But I still, even me.
Yeah.
Like I am a risk taker. I'm thinking of full transparency. I'm thinking about kind of buying a couple of old classic cars and redoing them and selling them. Just, man, I got to have projects. I need something to do. I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. And I can't pull the trigger.
Right.
I'm like, dude, I know I'm not going to lose money on them.
Right.
But I'm still not, like, I'm not afraid per se, but why won't I do it?
Right.
It's so ingrained to us. And I never, when we have these talks with guys in Tradewinds, like you can tell they're just afraid to do it. Right. And for those that of the Tradewinds guys that are listening and everything, it's like he just fucked up whatever I was going to say. Fucking Spencer,
one of my plumbers just walked into the podcast.
It's okay, buddy. You can come back. You want to be on the show?
We got
to
have Spencer on at some point.
We'll put him on the show. But it's like, even though I know that I'm not supposed to be afraid to go out and do this or go out and do that or do it, it's just ingrained into me.
Right.
And it's like, I have to battle it fucking constantly. We have talks with the guys in Tradewinds. It's like, you can read what they're going to think or say or whatever, like, and you know it's just because they're afraid to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes I don't know what to say to them. Like, that's a bad thing to say
to
the TW guys that are listening, but it's like, sometimes I don't know how to tell you to not be afraid to make that decision.
Well, and sometimes shit's just going to go south, but you can't not do something because the chance of it going south, right? Like tankless water heaters, for example. The first time I was sent to a, you know, as a young service plumber, hey, Mrs. Smith has a tankless water heater that's not working. I don't know how to fucking work on tanklesses.
I'll figure it out.
I haven't been trained, right? But most people would be like, oh, I can't run that call because I haven't been to tankless training. Okay. I'm not going to take that route because I like money. Right.
Yeah.
And so I go there.
I love money.
I go there and I figure it out. Right. I'm like, okay, it's doing this. It's not doing that. Let's call tech support. So I get on the phone with tech support and I tell them what it's doing. I tell them what it's not doing. They ask for a couple of readings and tech support sees that I'm not just trying to like pawn it off on them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to learn.
I can't figure this out, dog.
And so tech support says,
what the fuck's happening?
You know, they kind of have fun with it too. And they're like, you know, check the reading on this. Okay. That means that this is working and this isn't working and, you know, back and forth stuff. And next thing I know, I walk out of the house and we've diagnosed what's wrong with the tankless and we have a part coming and everything else. And other technicians would just flat, like refuse to go on a service call like that. Or they would walk in and instead of trying to diagnose it and expand their knowledge, they would try to convince the customer that it's just bad and they need a new one.
Yeah.
And
that's the HVAC world in a nutshell. Bad techs just saying, oh, we got to replace it. Compressor's out. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. And so they sell through ignorance instead of sell through knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. It's one thing as an in-home service professional, it's one thing to go into a customer's house and explain why they need a new one. It's another thing to go into a customer's house and not know why they need a new one and just sell them a new one.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah.
Because if a customer knows like, okay, my unit's 15 years old and it needs a new compressor and that's $1,500, but I could buy a whole brand new unit for $4,000 and it's going to be more efficient and it's going to cost less money to operate and it's going to have a 10-year warranty. Well, now I can make an informed decision for what's good for me.
Yeah.
Right. And unfortunately you have a lot of techs that go into that same house and they're like, compressor shot. It's cost effective to just buy a new unit. Yeah. They don't even give them what a new compressor would cost. They just tell them you need a new unit.
Yeah.
And then you end up with a customer that feels like they got taken advantage of because they didn't have a say in the matter and all of that stuff. But we use our fears for like, we don't know how stuff's going to turn out to stop us from doing tons and tons and tons of stuff.
It's crazy. The fact that you bring up just, and I don't want to press the issue too much, but it's like, so do you remember the time I called you about installing an Avian in line with an 80-gallon water heater? Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I never even looked at an Avian.
Yep.
Or anything. But I had these customers. They're really good customers. I did all their heating and air and I didn't know what to do.
Yep.
I call Mitch. Mitch says, hey, you should do this. I said, how do I tie it into this? He draws me a diagram. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. You know, I bid it. I put it in. It works fucking flawlessly, right?
Right.
I had no fear in my work environment, and I was on my own at this time. Like, I'd only been in business on my own maybe 3 years, something like that.
Right.
Maybe two. I had no fear there.
Right.
But then it's like that fear comes up now with stupid things that I know I can handle. You know what I mean?
And well, your fear barometer changes as you age.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you tend to get a little bit more conservative.
That's why when you're a kid, you run out to the mailbox with nothing but underwear on and it's snowing outside.
And you don't get
it. Yeah, you run across the road.
Fucking, you don't do that
That's because you're fucking stupid.
No, because so like you're young. Because when you're a kid, you don't realize stuff to be afraid about. There's that meme where it's like new fear unlocked. You don't know what could go wrong. You don't know that.
Yeah,
I mean, it could come out.
Is that it?
Well, so like some of the brightest people that I met through like Apex, and I want to say brightest, some of the most successful people I met through Apex.
Yeah, just because you're successful doesn't mean you're bright.
Bright.
Yeah.
These people were just fearless.
Yeah.
One of the guys.
You don't give a shit. It's amazing how much money you can make.
One of the guys couldn't spell. And
that's my brother.
And I don't mean like he had
he's
bad spelling.
Code. That son of a bitch can't spell truth.
Yeah.
Like is the,
well, you have that guy that
yeah, like he was literally that dumb. And he'll tell you this. Like, I'm not making fun of the guy. Like, he's not
you
smart.
And I know a guy that lives by me that
yeah.
we've known for that's that way.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't trust him to do fucking math for me.
Right.
But the guy makes a fucking shitload.
Because he's fearless, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, you take a guy that doesn't know how to spell.
We got to get a psychologist on the show.
Yeah. You take a guy that doesn't know how to spell, he doesn't use that as a reason. Like some people would use that as a reason, like, oh, I can't go write an employee handbook because I don't know how to spell.
Well, they feel self-conscious about it and not trust in the rest of their brain power.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
So then it's like, well, I guess I won't hire employees because I don't know how to spell. No. The first employee you hire is the one that knows how to spell, and then they do all that shit for you. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? But there's so many opportunities where we don't know how something's going to turn out, so we try to come up with all of these stop gaps for why we're not even going to do it. Another prime example, what happens on all community groups whenever a little snowflake falls on the ground?
Oh my God.
It's
watch
a thousand
out.
Posts of how
oh
are the roads?
God.
How are the roads? How
oh
are the roads?
God. You know what there was on there today in the Blue Springs one was, well, what's the line at your
yeah.
poll location?
How long's
why,
the
how
line?
Long's the line? It's like, dude, just fucking go up there and vote. I literally waited in line, voted, and was out in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Go vote.
Right.
What difference does it make? You have to go. They send out those little cards. Mm-hmm. Hello.
You got
to
go to your spot.
They say, you got to go to your spot.
Today's yeah. the last
what
day
anyways.
What
fucking difference does it? Yeah. What are you going to do? Wait till tomorrow?
It only gets worse because, I mean, they have to, if you're, as long as you're in line by 5, you know.
I love people.
They're going to be in line by 6.
Seven.
Or 7. Yeah.
In Jackson County,
yeah, 6 to 7.
Well, okay.
So. People are just, it's just. I don't want to get on to like bashing how dumb people are, but it fucking drives me insane, man.
Well, it's just it's a good window into how people allow their fear of the unknown to stop them from doing anything, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole how are the roads thing. That's the dumbest thing ever because for one, everyone's going to determine the roads differently.
You still got to go to work.
You still got to go to work, right?
Yeah,
so
you
like,
want to pay your mortgage or not.
You want to trust random strangers who you have no clue if they're like, if they know how to drive in the winter weather or
yeah.
not.
From now on, I'm going to be like, they're a sheet of ice. Don't leave your house.
Right.
Just to fuck with them.
Right.
Like who's
like,
you know, guys are doing that.
It's you got
Spencer's probably doing that.
You
shit.
Throw, you see that post out there and then you got one person that's like, oh, they're fine. And then you got another person that's like, I slid into the ditch. Okay.
I was driving a two wheel 32 valve North Star Cadillac from 1989. You don't know.
No. Right. Well, and what's their skill level? And are you driving on the same road they were? And is the road condition the same when you're going to go through as when they went through? Like, there's so many variables there. It's just a wasted thing. But
yeah.
the fact that people post it prove that they're looking to procrastinate
yeah.
through fear.
Yeah.
Right? And we do this all the time.
Yeah.
We find all kinds of reasons, right? Those days where you don't quite want to go to the gym. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, I've heard that having a rest day is good. So I'm actually not going to go to the gym because it's healthy. And you've like now convinced yourself that skipping the gym is healthy because.
We all do it.
We do all of these things in tons of different directions, right? You'll have people that convince themselves to buy a brand new car because, well, you got to have reliable transportation. And so now they're like blowing their budget and buying something that they absolutely shouldn't buy. Because they're...
I feel like you're speaking to me.
No.
No.
Oh.
Right now.
Oh.
I feel like you're speaking to me. Like, I want to buy some cool toys.
Yeah.
And I put it off for 3 months, and I'm like almost... I feel like you're looking me in the eye, and you're like, Dave, don't be stupid and
yeah.
buy that.
But, like, we do this all the time with anything, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hire employees because then you got to have work comp. Well, what's work comp cost? I don't even know.
Okay, so, why are you worried
so
about
it? You're preventing the growth of your business
yeah.
for something that you're allowing fear to creep in, but you don't even know.
To be honest, work comp is not that expensive. Like, it's expensive, but it's not that expensive.
No, and it's just part of business. Like,
yeah.
the moment you have an employee, you need it.
So are you using the work comp as an excuse to not grow your business or not have a business or because you're afraid to have lordship over that business? Like, what?
Right.
there's all these underlying issues that people deal with constantly, and they just don't know. Like, I'm one of these people. I just don't know how to deal with stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
Well, and it's cliche, but the easiest way around all of this is most people think, like, what happens if this goes wrong?
Well, that's what I said earlier. Right. Everyone always thinks of the negative side and the worst side, and they just go to that automatically.
And what they
just automatically go to that.
What they need to change their question that they're internally asking is, what happens if this goes right?
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
No one, hardly anyone asks that question.
Right. And the reason they need to ask that is because you analyze that far enough, and you now have the motivation, the inspiration, and a little bit of the guidance for how to make sure it goes right. You know what I mean?
This is something I've been thinking about lately, and I've been meaning to ask you and just talk about it. Like, we talk about sales options, always offer three, right? Right. Like, that's the easiest way to make sales, mm-hmm. right? Good, better, best. O'Reilly's been doing it since like 1991.
Right.
Right. I've been trying to kind of think about like decisions I make, like in my own personal life, is like with investments, with things. I've been trying to give myself three options inside of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Realistically, what's going to happen? Best case scenario, what's going to happen?
Right.
Worst case scenario, what's realistically going to happen?
Right.
And try to actually have a viewpoint of what could be great or could go wrong, right? What's going to happen 90% of the time? Middle ground. Like, if it's a graph that's from 90 to zero, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be not in the top 25% and not in the bottom 25%. It's going to be in that middle 50%. Mm-hmm. Like, realistically, that's what's going to happen. And when it comes to big decisions with finance or trade winds or like whatever, I try to view it that way. I've noticed that that's helped me a little bit. Just kind of, full transparency, I got that from my therapist. But like, it helps.
Yeah.
Like, after a year of doing that, most of the time, it's in that middle 50%.
Yeah.
Like, it just is.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, when you talk about the law of averages and what's actually going to happen, it's not always going to be the best.
Right.
But it's not going to be the worst either.
Right. Right. And what's funny, though, is we allow those irrational fears to stop us from doing things on things where we're just really not motivated to do. But we don't allow the irrational fears to stop us from doing any things that we're motivated to do. Right.
No, we just run with it because we love it.
Yeah. Like
I love it. We're going to do it. And we're going to see what happens. And if it flops, who gives a fuck? Because I love it.
Right. You'll have somebody that's like, I don't want to start a business because that's risky. But then they go get in a race car and they go race cars every weekend.
Yeah. And it costs them 15 grand a fucking race.
It costs them a lot of money, but they're also putting their life at risk
every
weekend.
I'm one of those dipshits.
You know, but they're like, I don't want to start a business because that's risky.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to get on my bike. What's yours? 989?
954.
What year is it?
03.
I'm going to get on this 954-03 and I'm going to do 200 miles an hour. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
No, dude, probably not.
Every time I break 100 miles an hour on that thing, I'm reminded that this bike is 20 years old. And I'm like, that is sketchy.
Yeah, it's sketchy. So. But you know what? You don't hesitate. You're like, you know what? Because it's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Because well, the like, awesomeness is outweighing.
Let's go. I'm going to get a little bit of a warning sign, right? I'll get a little wiggle or something.
A little wiggle. Yeah, a little wiggle at 120 is a big wiggle.
Just a little tank slap.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone wonders why I have fucking insurance on you if something were to happen. This is why.
Yeah.
This is why.
Yeah. But like,
just in case. You're not getting anything, Austin.
You know,
I'm
like,
keeping that money. That's mine, buddy.
Like, attention is the new currency, right? And so I bought one of those 12-foot skeletons, and I strapped it to the top of one of our plumbing vans to grab more attention.
You're an insane person, yes.
And a lot of people are like, what if it falls off? What if it hurts somebody? What if? And I'm like, well, it's a big piece of plastic. I don't think it's going to do much. But, like, if I had the what-if fears...
He's a fucking laughing.
Yeah. If I had the what-if fears... then I wouldn't let strangers that I barely know drive my $100,000 work vehicles.
I wish I'd found the original head that fell off.
No, it didn't fall. So ironically.
Oh.
Yeah. So
news
we had,
on the Smedley front.
We put a 12-foot skeleton on the top of the van early October, and it's still on there now. We're probably going to let it stay up for another week or two and then take it down. But the head went missing. And so we thought the head fell off.
When your employees on the highway. Steal it.
And I'm like, boy, that would be an uncomfortable call to get. Like a 12-foot skeleton head goes through somebody's windshield something.
Dude, if I had found it, it'd be in my barn.
Yeah.
In my office right now, plugged in, fucking lights on.
So I ordered a new one. Cost me $100 just for the head. Ordered a new one, jumped up on top of the van to install it. And it was very obvious that the old one was stolen and not.
Why do you think that?
Because the zip ties were cleanly cut.
I guarantee it was either one of your guys or one of your boys.
Not one of my boys. It doesn't stay at my house. It's at one of our employees' houses. Yeah. But
damn it.
These skeleton heads, they drop on at an angle and then lock in, like you rotate them and lock them in a position. And so all of those twisting tabs, those lock tabs, none of them were broke. And I'm like, if this head fell off, and then on top of all of that, I secured it into place with zip ties to keep it from being able to twist and pop off.
Yeah.
So
someone stole
I get up there
bitch.
And the zip ties are cut clean. They're not wiggled. They're not stressed. It's not like there's no white marks on them where they bent back and forth a whole bunch before they let go.
I wish I'd stole it. It was in my bar. It's like, I'd be like, yeah.
Well, in John's neighborhood, I have no doubt that it probably just got stolen out of his neighborhood.
I live like,
where does he live at?
He lives like 4 blocks away from
like
Austin.
Walking distance.
Oh, yeah, that's Green Valley Ghetto.
Distance.
Yeah, the north side
it's
of Green
nice
Valley.
It's actually a nice part of Green Valley.
What?
You're thinking of the other direction.
Hey,
first
off,
Green Valley.
There's no such thing as a nice part of Green Valley, and I have a Green Valley address. No.
That is a nice part of Green Valley, but it doesn't, just because it's a nice part of Green Valley doesn't make it nice.
First off,
that's like, nice ghetto.
You're right.
I'm not saying Green Valley is a ghetto, but I'm saying like there are nice parts of the ghetto.
I had my truck stolen out of my fucking driveway, and I have a Green Valley address.
There you go.
I still wouldn't say Green Valley is a ghetto. It's definitely better than Independence where we came from. So.
Yeah. But that's it's still a rough part of town.
That's like saying this taint doesn't smell as good as the last taint. Like, it's just, you know, it's Independence.
Yeah.
Can't compare anything to Independence. Everything's better than Independence.
Yeah.
Even Wyandotte is better than Independence.
Yeah.
That's where I'm from.
Until Cop shows up in Green Valley to start filming episodes, Independence is always going to be worse than Green Valley.
My Uncle Bill's on 3 episodes of Cops at KC.
Yeah. Good for him.
He's retired now.
He's innocent until proven guilty, though.
He's he's a good guy.
Was he in the front of the car or the back?
Front. Oh, he's a cop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What the? You know what? Fuck you, bitch. Asshole.
So, but yeah, like all of these cliche terms of like everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth or, you know, all of these weird things. They're literally just ways that they're psychological ways that we ethically procrastinate. That's all it is.
Ethical procrastination. That's an interesting statement.
So I saw something the other day that said over preparation is just another form of procrastination. Or no, perfectionism is a form of procrastination.
It is.
And it's because these people are like, oh, I can't release it because it's not perfect yet. Guess what? It'll never be. And what you think is perfect, like you won't even know what perfect looks like until you release it and see how the audience or the customers react to it.
Yeah.
And then go, right? So as long as it's 80% good, roll it out. Will there
be
problems?
We're talking 80-20 rule?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Will there be problems? Sure. But will there be problems if it's 100% perfect?
Yeah.
Sure. you know? So like when I'm making decisions in our business, a marketing decision or a payroll decision or a pay plan decision or anything, I come up with the idea, I get it roughly close and I roll it out. Yeah. And then I let my guys, who one of them was just sitting here, but he's stepped out now.
It's because he had too much of your bullshit. He was probably. Like, fuck this guy.
But like, I'll let them find the problems with it. And then we'll tweak it and adjust it and make adjustments as we need to.
Like, even when something is 100% perfect and you're like, that's great. 6 months goes by and you're like, economy's changed.
Yeah.
This has changed. That has changed. My view of this has changed.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I have to modify it.
Yep.
So regardless of whether it was perfect or not, when it rolled out, it's not perfect now.
Right.
Like the constant evolution and change of people, business, life,
yeah.
It just, you have to be able to, like if I could give like one piece of wisdom to myself when I was 25, 20, is that nothing's constant, everything's changing, and your adaptation to life and circumstance and how you handle it and how you move on will make you great.
Yeah.
Like that, like if I could tell myself that, the amount of headaches and pain and just everything negative in my life at that time would be greatly diminished.
Yeah.
You know, just your willingness to adapt, change, and overcome or make something different or better or whatever.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that.
Well, and so another way this happens, because this is actually way more prevalent than anybody gives us credit for. This is not just, I don't want to start a business because it's not perfect. This is almost every decision you make in life, right?
Yeah.
Another way this manifests is people say, I can't afford that, whenever they're looking at something that they like and they want.
It's America. And the rule is you can have anything you want, but not everything you want.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is
that's the truth.
You'll have people that are like, I want a new car. I can't afford it. And so they use that as the reason to not get a new car.
You're telling me to buy that car?
No. What I'm saying is they need to change the question. It's not, I can't afford it. It's how can I afford it? In other words, what would have to happen for me to afford it? Yeah. What does owning that car realistically look like?
Yeah, my partner makes less and I make more. Understood. Got it.
No, like
See, if it gets Austin, it's good.
Funny, but like, took me a second.
You know, last year we bought a pipe bursting machine, right?
Yeah,
it's $40,000.
That's paid for itself.
A lot of people would be like, "I can't afford $40,000."
Sure, okay? You can.
And so, and then they would just not buy it. I don't have 40 grand, can't buy it, not going to buy it. I want one, can't buy it, right?
Yeah.
And so I change the question, as I always do,
or if you change it from want to need.
How can I afford that? What would have to happen for me to afford that, right?
I got
to
do 6 jobs.
Well, so obviously everybody knows that once you have the machine, you can use jobs to pay for it.
Yeah.
But it's how do you plunk down the 40 up front to get it, right? And so I didn't have 40 grand sitting in the bank
sperm.
I didn't have 40 grand sitting in the bank that I wanted to use for that. Right.
Understood.
I don't have that much sperm.
So. Oh, you've got the old snippety dippity. That's right. Sell my buddy Dave's sperm. Yeah. I'll take a cut.
I mean,
dude, you got to do what you got to do.
I can scrimmage all day long, but,
but I can't get in the game. Yeah. That's good.
And so I looked at it like, okay, I don't have 40 grand in cash that I'm willing to spend. Right. So
willing. Yeah. Yes.
And I mean, that's
terminology is everything. Right. That's why I say
right.
It.
Because, you know, there's a lot of businesses that may have the 40, but maybe that's all they have is 40 in cash and they don't want to see their bank account at zero.
Or they can't afford it to be at zero because like our call this morning.
Yeah.
I don't have the money to.
Right.
Give like until right. I get paid. I don't know what to tell you.
Right. And so I looked at it and I called a couple of people that were smart with things and I got a Chase cashback credit card, and it's 12 months interest free plus cash back. And so I applied for the card, got the card, bought the pipe bursting machine, put the entire 40 grand on the card, and
got cash back. So it made it 35 instead of 40 or whatever it was.
2.5% cash back. And then I told Danielle, I said, take that total amount, divide it by 11, because it's 12 months, no interest.
Yep. That's our payment.
Total amount, divide it by 11, and we'll just pay on it over the next 11 months. Yeah. And we bought the pipe bursting machine last November.
God, has it been that long since you've had that?
We just paid it off in October.
I can't wait till I need to use it.
That credit card now has like a 4 cent balance. You know how hard it is to pay a credit card off all the way down to zero? Like, it's got like a 4 cent balance on it. We prorated the interest and your check was four cents short. Come on.
Okay, I'll send you a 5 cent check.
Yeah, I think
you owe me a penny.
The last one I paid off, they have those weird fees where it's like you pay it off, but then the next month it's like, well, this interest occurred on here or whatever.
It's so, like, I don't want to get off topic, and so I'm just going to say this real quick. Like, people don't understand. It's 4 cents. Who cares? When 4 cents to a credit card company over a million people is a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why.
It makes a big difference.
That's why they're fucking you.
Just
to let everybody know.
You know, but there's a lot of people that would say, like, oh, I can't afford it, and they would just leave it at that. And instead, I analyze it, like, what would I have to do to afford it? Here's another real-life prime example right now. And you're going to love this because it gives you tons of I-told-you-so ammo for me.
I'm already excited.
So as we've talked about on the show, I have a Ford Lightning. It's an all-electric pickup truck.
I'm not going to crush you over the Lightning.
And I bought it.
Maybe.
Brand new, off the dealer. Last spring.
$100,000, right?
Spring of 23, it was $98,000.
$98,000.
Okay. And at that time, a comparably equipped gas F-150 would have cost me about...
What were they, 50?
70.
Were they 70?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't anyone buy... You know what? That's another conversation for another day. Continue, sir.
The Lightning that I got was platinum with every option available and all of that. So
I'm
like,
that's why I say
comparably equipped.
For a half-ton truck, I'm not paying 70. Whether it's a Chevy, a Ford, a fucking Toyota, I don't give a fuck. I'm not stupid.
And so I didn't buy the Lightning. Like, I bought the Lightning for one because they were new. I get a little bit more visibility out of things, right? Yeah.
When you were promoting the business too,
promoting the business, putting the business branding on it. It's already going to catch more benefit
of the doubt with that stuff. Yeah.
And I even tastefully modified it to where it even stood out just a little bit more.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I leveled it and put the 35 inch wheels and tires on it and stuff like that.
No one knows it's a Lightning. Just like five people have one. They don't know if it stands out.
Yeah.
No offense.
But, like, that was the intention there, but we had already had an electric vehicle in the fleet. I already knew the advantages of electric vehicles in business.
Already had the charger at home.
Already had the charger.
Do you know that they're giving free chargers now?
It depends on which one you buy. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And so, I already had the infrastructure. I already had the knowledge to know that EVs make sense in business, right?
Yeah. Now, short-term, day-to-day driving, they make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Salesmen, ton of sense.
Right. Right.
You're driving 15 minutes to work every day. Ton of sense.
Right. And a lot of people that are still working for places, if they have chargers at their work, a lot of times the company they work for is paying for the electricity for those chargers. So
yeah, I know.
There's a lot of people that
they don't pay. They don't do it at home.
Yeah.
They just charge at work every day. Yeah. They don't even have one at home unless it's just a 110. They plug into an outlet.
Yep.
But they drive to work. Then they plug it in.
Yeah.
Charges all day. They go home. Who cares?
Right.
Work's paying for it.
And so, like, real life example of how can I afford this is now that when I bought the Lightning, the boat was a dream, but it wasn't an actionable dream yet. Like, it was something that I will do, but I hadn't, like, made the commitment to do it, right?
No, you had.
Now that we have the boat.
You wanted to, though.
Yeah. We're traveling longer and everything else, and so we're looking at getting rid of the Lightning and getting something that can handle the longer distances pulling the boat.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at F-250s. And
250. Can you get a gas motor, please? If you buy a diesel, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Maybe.
I was right about the Lightning, and I'm right about the diesel, too.
So
stop. Death's expensive.
Looking at the trade-in value of the Lightning.
He doesn't even want to face it. He's like, no, no, I will not face this question.
Because I'm looking at resale values of the gas F-250s, and the resale values of the diesel ones are significantly higher.
And you thought that about the Lightning when you bought it, too.
No, I never looked at resale value when I bought the Lightning.
Well, that was a mistake now, wasn't it?
But now that I'm looking at possibly trading in the Lightning, they're only wanting to offer me like 40 and 45 for trade-in.
Oh, my God. I thought they were going for like 70.
Brand new off the lot, they are.
Oh,
you're right.
I told you so.
Yeah. So
that's brutal,
so
man.
So depreciation's hard, right?
I'll give you 30.
Well,
I got cash.
Yeah.
I got cash.
The logic is like most people would say, like, okay, well, then I just won't trade it in and I'll just have to make do, right? But the realistic answer is like, okay, how can I afford to make this happen? Because I'm not going to spend, like, I still owe 70 on the Lightning.
Ugh.
And so I didn't put any money down on it when I bought it, which doesn't change anything. Like, let's say I would have put money down on it when I bought it.
Yeah.
Then I would only owe maybe 50 on it, right? And so, like, if I have to put $20,000 into the Lightning,
you're still out that money.
You're still out the money. I'd rather hang on to it for 18 months.
Whether you spend it now or spend it then, you're still spending the money.
Right.
To be honest, I don't know where you're going with this, but I mean, we've talked about you hanging on to it for a salesman or something. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to be like, why don't I just hang on to it and say, fuck it.
Right. Right.
Eat it.
And it's like, okay.
You're eating it regardless.
Right. Well, and it's still an around the town, like, perfect vehicle for around the town. It's still even the perfect vehicle for hauling the boat around town.
Because it pulls the
boat amazingly well. It just doesn't pull it far.
You know what makes the most sense? Is to sell that fucking Jeep and let her have that truck. That's what makes the most fucking sense.
She won't drive that truck.
You know what? Well, sometimes we got to sacrifice and not get every little fucking thing we want.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want me to tell her?
Yeah.
I'll fucking tell her. I will. I've never met somebody that's so afraid of his wife.
No, that's not that I'm afraid.
It's not that I'm afraid.
Nope. Not at all. I like being able to provide for her the things that she wants.
Sometimes the things we want should be what's best for our family.
Yeah.
I'm talking about her, not you.
Yeah. Our family ain't hurting because she has that Jeep.
No, I'm just saying, money-wise, you would get the money out of the Jeep. You're going to have to eat the truck anyway. She could drive the truck, make the money off the Jeep, and she still have an awesome vehicle to drive.
Yeah, that's one.
Faster than the car she has now. You know what? Maybe don't give her that
exactly.
truck.
But, hit that curb.
Yeah.
Hit a storm drain.
Like, instead of just saying, well, I guess I won't trade it in. No, it's like, okay, let's look at this. Like, how can I still get a vehicle that makes sense for me, but not pay $30,000 to sell the Lightning, right? Because the Lightning, for one, it's not worth it to pay that much money to sell it.
Yeah, no, it's not. It makes the most sense for her to drive it.
It makes the most sense to keep it. And if I do really need a fossil fuel powered pickup truck to do the things that I need to do, then, you know, I got to find a way to do both, right? And so, like,
yeah.
Then it becomes like, well, I'll just grow the company enough to have somebody drive the Lightning, have a sales guy or a project manager or somebody drive the Lightning, and I don't sell it, right? And then I would just get the Super Duty F-250 on top of that, in addition to that, right?
Yeah.
So, and I haven't made a decision which way I'm going to go on that yet or anything, but I'm just using it as a real life example of, you know, is a lot of people would think they were sunk the moment they realized, okay, you know, trade-in values tanked on this thing, right?
Yeah.
And nobody knew what trade-in values were going to be on these things whenever they were out a year and a half ago.
No. No.
And
we, like, full transparency, like, when we talked about it, there were no future projections like there were with gas-powered vehicles. Like,
right.
No one knew.
Right.
Like, I never do anything first because I'm always afraid of, like, the second phase.
Yeah.
Like, same thing with cars. Like, oh, first generation Mustang. Oh, awesome.
Right.
No, by the second. They work the fucking bugs out of it, right? You know what it's actually going to be worth, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's always something to be said for that.
Well, and this, there's no bugs or anything else. It was just more of a value and a depreciation thing. But the other side, too, is you can't just say that, like, oh, I'm sunk because this thing depreciated. Like, I've put 38,000 miles on that thing in 18 months. And so if I go run the math of how much 38,000 miles would have cost me in a gas truck versus that truck, you know, it's insane the amount of money I've already saved, right?
Is it?
Yes. Yeah, it would absolutely be.
Well, what's the math?
It costs me, so I pay...
don't make me get my pen out.
38,000, and it averages 2.4 kilowatts.
No, I'm saying I'm trying
2.4 miles per kilowatt.
What's an F-150 get gas mileage wise?
Probably 15.
Okay. What's gas? You saved $6,300.
$6,300 in fuel.
In fuel.
Right.
You saved $6,300 in fuel.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
And you're right. It's not enough. But what I'm saying is,
I was just curious. When you said that, I was like, oh, I wonder what that actually is.
Right.
$6,300 in fuel. That's a $2.50 a gallon.
Yeah.
I just did $2.50 a gallon. Right now it's 11. What's gas right now?
So I've saved 6,000 in fuel. I've spent 800 in electricity.
So to charge it. I'll still give you the six. Yeah.
So at 2.4 miles a kilowatt. Now it's not a direct accurate number because some of that was like charging at high speed chargers on over the road trips
that you had to pay
and
for.
And you pay a premium for that. But if all that charging was done at home, 38,000 miles worth of driving only cost me $800 in electricity.
How many years did you have that?
A year and a half.
So a year and a half. So it saves you $6,000 every year and a half. So 3 years, it saves you 12.
It's about $4,000 a year in fuel that it saves.
Yeah.
I figured it up to be close to about $400 a month in fuel if you're charging at home every time, right? So
how many years would you have to have it for it to pay for itself if nothing happened to it?
Well, keep in mind, you're only looking to offset the $20,000 difference of how much more that was versus
right? I guess I didn't say that quite.
Yeah, correct. So you'd have to have it for like, I don't know.
5 years. Probably have to have 5 years.
Yeah, 4.5, 5 years, something like that.
Probably 5 years.
And then it's completely broke even. That doesn't include your $7,500 tax credit that you got for getting an EV and all of those things. And these are all games, right? Like, I understand that they have to incentivize you with tax credits to buy them.
Yeah, $98,000. I don't care about that. I care about the money.
Right, right. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of guys would go to trade in a vehicle and realize that, okay, I paid 98 for it. I still owe 70 on it. They're only going to give me 40 or 45 for a trade-in. I'm sunk. I'm upside down. I'm ruined. And it's like, hold on.
I think you should hang on to
because
it.
Because it still makes absolute perfect business sense to keep owning it.
I think you should own it.
Super cheap.
If it was me, I'd make my wife buy it, or I'd make my wife drive it. I'd sell hers so that I had cash flow. This is just what I'd do.
Yeah.
And then if I did end up getting a salesman, then I'd get her something else, and then they would have that.
Yeah,
like that. That's just what I would do.
Yeah.
So that I would have the cash.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, what's more comfortable to ride in, that Jeep or that fucking truck?
Well, it depends.
I think that truck has more room in it than that Jeep does.
Yeah. Yeah. She prefers her Jeep over the. She likes the small sporty feel of the Jeep.
I know. So. I'm just talking dollars.
Yeah. But you know, a lot of people would look into that and say, I'm sunk, I can't do anything. And it's like, hold on, you have a ton of options. Like, who says you have to trade it in?
People always go to black and white.
Yeah.
They always, okay, this is it or this is it.
And then they use that black and white to develop fear that makes them stagnant.
Yeah, and then push them,
And then they just don't do anything, right? And, you know, it's like, okay, I'm pretty much done hauling the boat. After next week, I'll be done hauling the boat all winter. Because I'm getting winterized next week.
Yeah, you got 3 months to make a decision.
Yeah. And then the only other thing we have coming up is we're going to drive to Colorado to go skiing towards the end of January.
I will say this. There ain't no way she's letting you take that truck.
Right. Right. She won't ride out there in that truck.
Not after last year.
But even then, it doesn't mean I have to have this decision by then. Like, if I do, great. But if not, I'll just go to freaking Enterprise and rent a Suburban or something.
I still think we should fly. Just get a shuttle and fly.
I'm not opposed to having the whole family fly out there, and then I pick them up from the airport in my Lightning, and then I make the drive.
I'm 2 seconds from choking you to death.
Well, my challenge is, I don't like flying because you can't haul all the stuff out there. Like, anytime we go skiing,
check extra bags, dude. It's $35 a bag on United.
Yeah.
Whoopity fucking do. It's $35, man.
Yeah. My truck is full of things that you don't typically fly with.
We don't have to take food. You know what? We're not going to talk about this on a podcast.
But
it's a topic for another day.
But what I'm saying, there's a lot of people that would use those types of scenarios. Oh, I got to have this figured out by then. I got to buy the new car before the vacation. No, you can rent.
Yeah.
Like, there's always an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but don't rush and don't put off.
Yeah.
People put these they impose these arbitrary rules on themselves that come from nowhere.
Right.
And then they don't realize they're sort of trapping themselves and they don't question these sort of like weird.
No, they just want to make a decision. That, you know, they want to hold it as fact and truth and hold themselves to it. In reality, it's unrealistic.
Right.
I was reading
this. And the right answer is different for everybody. The right answer would be different for your house or your business than my house and my business and, yeah, and all of that stuff, right? And so you just got to look at it objectively and figure out what's the best way to proceed. What gets us the results we're looking for the quickest? Because money loves speed. And so the faster you make a decision, the faster you're going to, you know, realize the savings, right? And ultimately, like with that lightning, it doesn't matter what they say it's worth. To me, it was worth 98 when I bought it. Just because the market says it's only worth 40 right now, that's only if I sell it. I only realize the financial loss if I sell it right now.
It's the same thing as stocks.
Yeah.
My stock's down. If I sell it right now, I've lost $250. Maybe I just fucking hold on to it.
Right.
Because guess what might happen? It might go back up.
Right.
Or I might hold on. And unlike stocks, I might hold on to it and get value out of it by holding on to it.
Yeah.
And using it in another manner.
I had a buddy
making my wife drive it.
I had a buddy text me yesterday and said, "Hey, how do you like your Lightning? I'm thinking about buying one."
I got one for sale, dog.
And I'm like, I freaking love it. Right. I said, now, right now, the value of mine's like in the toilet is a used Lightning. And so like I wouldn't sell mine right now because the value is so low. But as far as like what I paid for it and what it does for the business and what it allows us to do with all the driving out to, the whole reason I bought it was because we drive out to Kansas all the time now with this new project. And so
it saves you a lot of gas.
Yeah. Boatloads. Right.
Yeah.
And so like it's still serving the purpose for why I bought it. You know, and I told him, I'm like, you're actually in a better position than I am because right now you're not going to have to pay 98 for it.
Yeah.
You can get one in the 40s if you get one of the base like XL stripped down models. And so I'm like, yeah, you're in a better position than I am.
Yeah.
When I bought mine that, you know, you had to pay sticker.
Janine and I, full transparency, Janine and I have been thinking about getting an EV for her. So, so she used to drive to HCA, right? And snow, electric, no chargers out there, blah, 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 blah. But now she just goes to St. Mary's and Blue Springs.
Yeah.
Like between that and soccer practices, we spend a lot on gas.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe.
Right.
And just for that. Like, and then keep hers, like you're thinking about doing now, for when we do go to Colorado.
Yeah.
Or we go down to the lake. We go to the lake 3, 4, 5 times a year.
Yeah.
Not Ozarks, but Table Rock. So it's 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
I was reading, this is a parallel. It's not trades, but like my favorite filmmaker, he actually limits himself to the amount of time spent in pre-production. So movies go through pre-production, the production, they have post-production, and that's when they're just marketing and stuff. But, you know, he allows himself 6 weeks. It seems like a lot of time, but I mean, he's making $100 million movies. So you need like construction, 6 weeks, permits,
I would think,
location.
Is not enough time.
No. So he has a thing of like, it's that sort of mindset of like, okay, we get 6 weeks. And it's one of those things where you never feel like you're actually ready for a movie because there's so many things. And like, there's so many things that you don't know until you just start it. So it's like he allows himself 6 weeks for pre-production. And then they're still figuring out things along the way.
Yeah.
Right.
And just sometimes you just kind of have to go to know like what you're getting
into. I feel like one of these days, Austin and I are going to make a movie.
Yeah.
A
little film festival movie.
Yeah.
I have a lot of really good ideas.
Costs a lot of money to enter those festivals, but
sponsorships, maybe. Yep. Smedley.
I actually had somebody hit me up about that.
Really?
Yeah, they were doing a small movie, and they were selling branding opportunities within the movie.
Oh, yeah. There's a Smedley thing in the background or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And because we only serve the KC metro area, this movie goes national. Like it just doesn't make sense. But
I have such an off the wall question. How do you have to pay to enter a movie festival for small movies? That's the fucking, isn't that the whole
point? The same reason you pay to enter racing at the weekends.
Yeah. There's thousands of entries
because the winners of the festival get money and they got to pay for
do they get paid?
And they set up to like
film festival winners. They get big contracts.
Get paid. Yeah. So it's just, you know, there's tons of entries.
What's
look at this.
What's an entry fee? When you say big money, is it 2,500 or is it like 25,000?
I'm not for sure, but I'm thinking it might be like 1,500 or something like that.
Oh, somewhere that's just not like a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not like you're paying 10 grand or something.
Okay, Austin and I are making a fucking movie.
But yeah, it's
horror movies are the cheapest to make. Two great sex scenes and people getting their heads lopped off, you win $1 million.
Hide behind the chainsaws, run to the cemetery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Geico commercial.
Movies are hard to make, though.
What is?
Everyone
movies?
Thinks they can make a movie and they get into it and they're like, oh, this is actually harder than I think it is. Thought it was.
Isn't that the whole point of this show?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not saying you don't.
People
I'm just
say can't,
like,
they don't want to do it because it's hard. I can't do it.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I'm not,
do it!
Go out
I'm
there
not,
and get punched in the mouth.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying there's a lot of people that they look at the movies and like, oh, man, acting is easy and all that stuff is easy. Those guys are wusses and they get out there and like, dude, like.
Challenge accepted.
Yep. So go ultimately.
Make Austin fucking work.
Ultimately, like, you're the one standing in your own way.
Can we wrap this
and,
show up?
And, and so, like, we kind of talked about this specifically right now because I even posted today on my Facebook that I'm excited for today, but I'm more excited for tomorrow as people start to return back to normal-ish.
I can't wait.
And
I'm
it's
so
because
sick
so
of
many
it.
People have, like, put their life on hold because they want to know who's going to be president. Like, it matters.
It's like the Breakfast Club going on right now.
I've done that.
But we
like,
all do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Keith even said it. He was like, yeah, I've got my money set aside so that when shit hits the fan, I have it and I'm not doing anything right now. I'm just holding on.
Right. Well,
like, granted, he has a plan.
He's got his money set up. He freed up. He sold a lot of stuff off and set stuff aside because when shit hits the fan and the value of everything tanks, he's going to go scoop it up.
Yeah.
He's not setting it aside out of panic.
I guess he's not afraid.
Right.
I should say he's not afraid. Yeah.
He's preparing to buy off from other people that are panicking.
But,
right.
Yeah. But like even me, I'm not planning on buying anything big, but I'm not spending any extra money.
Yeah.
Why? I have no fucking clue.
We had somebody.
It's like ingrained into me.
Yeah. We had somebody that wanted to hold off on doing their new sewer until after the election.
They may have just told you that to fucking skate out.
I'm like, why? This is dumb. Like, whether Kamala or Trump is president, it doesn't matter. Like, your sewer is still fucked.
You should have looked at her in the eye and been like, you know what? In 2 weeks, when Kamala wins, prices are going to go up. The sewer's going to be another $1,500 fucking dollars.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's
don't
is, essentially that's what we told them because they wanted to wait until next spring after all the election stuff blows over. And I'm like, I mean, depending on the way things go, this might get substantially more expensive by next spring.
You know what I noticed like 8 years ago, and I know we're going to wrap up the show, but like 8 years ago, manufacturers of HVAC equipment, pipe, things like that, they just went to a January 1st. January 1st, we're going to have a price increase. Mm-hmm.
Do it mid-year,
yeah.
Mid-month.
Well, that's how they started it, right? Mm-hmm. And then it was like first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. So quarterly, they're all a little smaller. But then that January 1, they're huge.
Yeah.
They're usually huge. Not every year. But it's like when you tell people that, they look you blank and think you're lying to them.
Yeah.
And then in February, when they call and say, okay, we're ready, and you say, oh, it went up 5%, this is... They don't trust you, even though you told them that before.
Right.
And then they go get another bid and they don't want to come back to you because they're ashamed. And then they go with someone else anyway. I hate that.
I had a customer that used happens. Us when we first opened. And then he was like, man, your pricing has like, it feels like your pricing has like doubled since you opened.
Because it has doubled.
And I'm like, well, it has. And I said, that doesn't mean we're making twice as much money though. And he's like, how can you double your pricing and not make twice as much money? And I'm like,
did you look at him and go, see,
I said, do you remember what the price of gas was 4 years ago?
Yeah. It was $1.25.
What's it now? Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And how did we get here? Like, our whole business is through service vans.
I love how people are so stupid and or ignorant, I guess is what I should say, when it comes to petroleum products.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gas was $1.25. What do you think they use to make PVC?
Right.
And rubber.
Right.
And plastic out of.
Right.
Most of them are petroleum based products, you fucking dopes.
Right. And
it's like, so that means, well, it only went up 5%. Okay, but everything went up 5% just because of that.
Right. Right.
Ugh,
drives
me insane, man.
And then, like, because everything went up, now you got to pay your guys more.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, like, it's just a, you know, a big challenge on that front as far as trying to, like, it's a big challenge to think you're going to save money by pushing an expense off. right?
Yeah.
That's like, you got boy math, you got girl math, and then you got like customer math. And that's customer like bad math.
Customer like, math is bad fucking math.
They think that you're just like leaving the call and like just pocketing 100% of the money that they just gave you.
Well, last time it was $400. This time it's $600. That means he's making $200 extra dollars. No, actually, I'm making $25 more, which barely covers the upside of everything that's happened, and the rest is going to taxes and
last week we got called to a Cold Stone Creamery for a leak under their sink.
Was it in Odessa?
No.
Okay.
No, that's Rick's place. That's not Cold Stone.
That's why I was
asking. That's the creamery.
Oh, I thought it was Cold Stone.
We went
there
some sort of, maybe it was Oak Grove. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Fucking Rick.
No, Cold Stone Creamery is a franchise. They're all over the nation.
Okay.
And so they call us up. We tell them it's an $89 service charge, and we get there and figure out what's wrong and go over all pricing before any work is done. So we get there and we give them the price to fix all the leaks underneath their sink. And they were like, wow, that's crazy expensive. But also, we canceled you guys, so we're not going to pay anything.
What do you mean you canceled me?
It's like, you canceled us. I'm listening. And she says, we called in to cancel. We found somebody else. And I'm like, you never called in to cancel. Otherwise, like, we wouldn't be here.
Did you hold up your phone and go, this is the phone that rings?
Yeah.
This is
me.
And
she's like, well, I record all my calls. And I'm like, well, so do we. Like, we know you haven't called in to cancel. And then she changed her tune and said, no, I texted to cancel. And it's like, show me the text. She can't show this to text. We don't have any texting, right?
I set that building on fire.
And then she's like, well, you guys' prices are crazy, and I'm just not going to pay the bill. And it's like, you at least owe the $89 service charge. Yeah. You agreed to that when we set up the call.
Man, George Diaz has it straight.
Well, and so then she's like, well, I'm not going to pay that because your prices are outrageous. And it's like, okay, that's fine. You own 17 Cold Stone Creameries.
And I'm putting a lien on I said, I'm going to go $89.
I'm going to go like order $90 in ice cream at each of them. And then whenever it comes time to pay and you got them all sitting there done and the cashier's getting ready to ring me up, I'm going to say, I changed my mind.
And I'm going to walk away.
And I'm going to walk out. And like, if you want to call us out for service and then refuse to pay the bill, I'm going to do the same thing. Right now, you didn't get service from us.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to take the ice. I'm not going to eat the ice cream and then not pay, cause that's stealing. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I am going to run you through the paces and make you incur costs and then not pay the bill. And then she gets all snippy and then she tries to call in today and pay with a credit card and it declines.
Of course.
So now she's mailing a check, which I'm willing to bet we'll never see.
Yeah.
So, but she even pulled the line of like, you know, I've got a lot of opportunity here. I have 17 of these stores and it's like,
you can't pay for the one fucking one we came on.
Right.
Well, what makes me think
like
you're going to pay for all of them?
For us to lose money.
Yeah. If you're not going to pay me for this one, why would I think I'm getting paid for the other 16, you bitch?
Do you think that reverse would work? Like, can I walk into your store and be like, I got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
You give me a deal on this ice cream, I'll get all my friends to shop with
you. Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Maybe you should. Yeah. It's so dumb.
It works like that.
It just does kind of suck whenever it's like you see other business owners doing the stuff that business owners hate being done to them. You're like, come on. Like, you have anybody should know.
Right.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah.
They just don't see it.
What you talk about too is like, you know, be the customer to other places.
Yeah, be the customer that you want for your own business. Yeah. So, but yeah, ultimately, most of the reasons that you think you can't do something won't ever happen, but you're going to use them to keep you from doing whatever it is you want to do. So instead of saying, I can't afford it or that won't work, say to yourself, like, how can I afford it and how can that work? What would it take to make that work? And then focus on that. And when you focus on that, you're going to get much farther than the naysayers, the people who just say it can't work for these reasons and then walk away from it.
Yeah.
Because those are the people that have no accomplishments to their name. And, you know, if you would have told Elon Musk, you can't come with an alternative way to pay over the internet and you can't.
Let me show you.
Yeah. You can't put rockets into space more efficiently than NASA, and you can't dig tunnels more efficiently than all of the tunnel boring machines that are already out there. And you like, if you would have just said that, he would have never done anything. Right. And so he doesn't use those to stand in his way. he recognizes those and says, okay, how can I make this work?
Yeah.
It what spurs would have him. To happen?
Yeah. Yeah. It spurs him on.
Yeah. So change that little perspective and you will no longer be paralyzed with your analysis. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you, boys.